Part three, the theology of partying. The theology of partying, part three. There it is right there. Keep going to the website for the previous messages. You know, I usually, when I'm in a series like this, I usually tell you, you don't have to worry about, you know, like, well, I missed the other two. And because every one is a standalone and the Lord will minister. But if you can, and I don't think it's not up yet, is it, Jean? Because Jean has sent the Bailey, between Jean and Bailey, Jean does the taping, sends them to Bailey. Bailey oversees the website. And sometimes it could be a week or two in a lag. But when you get the opportunity, I really want you to hear the first message, okay? Because the story on there I told that is a true story that will enhance everything I'm talking about. But, you know, the Holy Spirit's here. He's going to help you. Anyway, we should pray. Father, let it be from you. God, let it be from you. God, in the name of Jesus, speak to us, God. You know all the stuff that's going on in our lives, God, and you can speak vividly, Lord, to wherever we're at. And, Lord, do that in this room right now. The party is portable. The party is portable. Not potable, portable. Okay? Now, you know what that means. Like, because we've been talking about, oh, kingdom of God, people getting together. Yeah, this is great. You know, we do it on Thursday night. We do it on Tuesday night. Try to do it a little bit here, okay? The presence of God, when the presence of God is having his way, and he is truly king, okay, wherever he is king, it's like the most wonderful blowout party you've ever been to. That's what Matthew 22 says. It's explicit, okay? And we've been developing that thought. But it's not just us coming together. It's portable. Now, I know there's a lot of connotations here, and I know I'm going to make some people that have been in church for a while a little nervous, but I'm going to put it up. Do you party? Do you party? I was asked that a lot when I was a kid. I used to work at Canadian Tire for 2 years. That was my first main job. And here was my stock answer. And you know me, I'm outgoing, cocky, and like I'll drive people nuts sometimes. But anyway, I started thinking about this. Maybe in my life it's not such a bad thing. Hey, counsel, you party, don't you? I am a party. That's what I would say. Okay? My co-workers at Canadian Tire were convinced in St. Catharines. They were convinced that I was doing stuff. Okay? They said I would get in arguments with them. Come on, you're doing stuff. You are, no, man, I'm not. And it suits me well, it suited me well, especially when I was in youth ministry and through my life, that, and it sounds cocky and it sounds bragging, but I boast in the Lord, okay? I will still say it to people, I can out-party anybody. I can. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit. You got limited resources if you don't have the Lord. In fact, if you're talking about the partying that isn't fueled by the Holy Spirit, okay, You're talking about limited resources. With Christ, there's no limit to the resource. And we think, you know, if he owns everything, but there's no limit to joy. There's no limit to fun. There's no limit to fulfillment. That's who he is. That's what he's all about. You ever heard this one? I used to do this in the newsroom in CFRA all the time. Okay. Walk in. Okay. Party started. There was only three or four of them at night, you know, and I had a lot of laughs in there. If we're the light of the world, okay, and look at, God doesn't need a bunch of John councils, I know that, but all of us can have the Holy Spirit to the point where you can light up the room when you walk in, okay? Those of you that know, and I don't mind embarrassing her because she knows I love her, okay? Those of you that know Carol, Constantino, Carol's like that, okay? Carol lights up the room when she comes in, she does. Now, she hardly says a thing. But it's all okay, we're okay, Carol's here, you know. That's what the Holy Spirit does to people. Well, John, you're pushing a little bit. What, you think because you have Christ when you come into the room it should get dark? You know, oh, they're here. Now, there is a bit of that in the world because, you know, you've run into people that, you know, the darkness does not like light. Here they come, you know, and usually people that are of that mindset, there's a lot of bondage there. They're bound to a lot of things. They don't even know how bound they are. And please, I'm not advocating lighting up the room and being obnoxious because, you know, I've learned that lesson the hard way. Yeah, boy, I've offended all kinds of people that way. But if it's under subjection to the Holy Spirit, it's joy. It lifts people. People that were Before you came in, before your conversation, before they were at a lower place. We have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to lift people like that. We're not that smart. Doesn't matter. Jesus is in us. You do not know how powerful you are. No, let me rephrase that. You don't know how powerful Christ is in you. You do not know how powerful Christ is. The devil knows. That's why he sows doubt in you all the time. That's why he scares you all the time. That's why he takes the word of God and twists it to a point where he used the word of God to tempt and attack Jesus. And it's only through knowing the word, more of the word, that we can counter that. You know? Okay, now it's a party. What do I mean by that? I'm going to show you Colossians, okay? This is really important. Main thought, the party is portable, okay? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Oh. Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, you try that. Okay? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That means there's sometimes I'm just going to have to shut up and stop complaining. There's sometimes I'm going to have to watch how I speak. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Ever thought of that? We're called to peace. We're called to peace. And be thankful. Doesn't say whether things are going right or wrong. It says be thankful. You know what I find myself praying so often? God, don't let me be poisoned with a poison of unthankfulness. Okay? You will always have place to complain. There will always be reasons to be skeptical and cynical. Okay? That is not letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And it's not a case of, okay, I got to do this. It's a case of, okay, Jesus, I'm going to let you be Lord. Okay? What is one of the names of Jesus? He's the Prince of Peace. If he's going to rule, if he's going to be Lord, he's the Prince of Peace. He brings the peace. He brings the kingdom of peace into our lives. Okay? Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Look at the words there. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Not, yeah, I know what the Bible says. When it says dwell amongst you richly, it says, yeah, I know what the Bible says. Got to step back and think, okay? Is it really ruling or is it just head knowledge in my life, okay? Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Admonish means sometimes, you know, spur one another along to good deeds. Hebrews says you stick a spur in a horse to make him jump more. Admonish is kind of that same kind of word, you know? Hey, you know, my wife and my daughter are really good at admonishing me. You know? It's good to be accountable to them, okay? Hope you got somebody like that in your life, okay? Teach and admonish one there with all wisdom through, now, when I get to, here's Miriam, good, she's here. I don't know anybody in the world that does this better than Miriam Challenger, okay? Here it comes, okay? Listen, yeah, admonish one there with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. She's the pro. You want to get lessons? She will teach you, okay? She has got this down. And the first time I was ever in a prayer meeting with her and she pulled that stunt, my flesh was going, oh boy, you know? That's the last time I ever had an issue with it. Every time she does that. In fact, I count on it now. You know, we could really use a song. Here she goes before it's even out of my mouth. And, you know, and every time she does that in our prayer times, man. And you guys know, we're there, okay? It's not corny. It is, I think of this scripture every time. It's like the Lord uses her to declare, okay, that the peace of God is ruling, okay? And it's a spirit of peace. And sometimes it's faith. And sometimes it's Jesus. It's always Jesus. Now, God doesn't want everybody to be Miriam Challengers either. I know that too. But we all have, if we are yielded to God, if he is truly Lord, out of your mouth will come things that you didn't expect, and it will always be good things, positive things. Okay? You may have a bit of hesitation. Steve had hesitation before he shared with us a Saturday morning. And if you were there, you were witness to everything that came out of his mouth was a good thing. Okay? I was texting him all week, you know, I thought he was going to lose it. I thought he was, you know, the wheels were coming off, you know, it's going to be great, going to be great, going to be great, you know? Why did he follow through? Not because he's smart, not because he did it. And if I'm misrepresenting you, get up and tell me, shut up, okay? He knew he was doing it because he loves Jesus. He did it because I want Jesus to rule in my heart. And look what happened, you know? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And he's not a public speaker, you know? It was awesome. Song of the Spirit, sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, I went through all those scriptures. Here's the one I want to stick with you, because this one rocks. This one has changed my life. This one will bring life to your dead routine like you wouldn't believe. And I'm going to give you some examples of it, okay? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In other words, everything we do, the most menial task, can be an act of worship. Do you get that? Everything we do can give glory to God. How does that work? Why do you think Proverbs 3:5 says, don't lean on your own understanding, but in everything you do, acknowledge Christ, and He will make your path straight. In other words, making your path straight. Oh, there's purpose. There's meaning. Well, the presence of God is here. Well, this is not a waste of time. Okay? Everything we do. Now, you're not going to get this in one message here. You're going to have to take this home and pray about this. Okay, is counsel nuts or is there something here? Okay, this is powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. Everything we do could be an act of worship. Now, I've used this illustration before, but I've never been able to show you pictures. Oh, I'm so excited to show this picture. It's so great. You ready? Okay. When I have talked about this thought before, I used my experience working at the Ford engine plant in Windsor, Ontario, building 351 engines. Okay. You can't get more boring work than on an assembly line. In fact, they will switch people to different jobs because they know if you stayed on the same job for even a week or two, you'll go out of your mind. Try doing that 8 hours a day standing up. No mind. Okay? And the only reason you're there is because you're making more money than your dad. Okay? Like, I mean, they paid like you wouldn't believe back then. Okay? So I wanted to show you, and lo and behold, I found a slide. Now remember, in an engine plant, there are... Well, I think the engine plant 2 and 1 each had 5,000 shifts of 5,000 guys, and the foundry had a shift of about 1,200, okay, in Windsor. Okay, around there, eh, Rich? Oh, stop. Anyway, your dad worked for Ford, didn't he? You worked for Ford. Okay, so we're both from Windsor, so I can be accountable to my spirit-filled heckler here. Now, listen, okay? So I get researching. And of the thousands of jobs, here's a slide of the first job I ever did in plant number two. This was my first job. Okay? The 351 engines would come, you know, they would come down this conveyor belt, they would drop down, and me and my buddy, I had a guy there and a guy there, we had to go in with a pneumatic wrench and bolt those engines to these racks and ship them by truck all over the world. Okay? So here's... And I did this job for the first 2 weeks. That's all I did. Okay? Bolting them in. Okay? And, you know, I'm making good money. Stupid good money. 17 years old, living at home, and making way too much money than a teenager should be making. Okay? By the time, and I was supposed to be saving for Bible college. You talk about the grace of God. By the time I got to Bible college, I had squandered everything, didn't have a penny. Okay? That's why I read these stories about Justin Bieber, okay? I'm a big Justin Bieber fan. I don't like his music. It bores me to tears. But that kid, I love that kid. I do. His mom's a good Christian. He's not perfect. This guy, 19 years old, he's worth $300 million. If I was 19 and had $300 million, I don't care about the presence of Jesus. I'd be a bigger jerk than him. I mean, I can't believe how that guy holds it together, okay? And I find myself praying for the guy, okay? So, here I am in this, and the only thing that's keeping me there is the money. I worked there for 2 years, okay? So I'm like, short attention span, big time, okay? In fact, Chantel and Jean, I don't wear it that much because I don't like to boast about my faults that much. They got me a t-shirt that says ADHD, it looks like an AC/DC shirt. ADHD, you know, like, does it say squirrel underneath it too? Yeah, it does, okay, yeah. So, now imagine that mindset. You saw a little bit of it with Maverick. That's my grandson. He's all over the place, bouncing off the walls. Here I am. I got to do this. I'm going to go out of my mind. Okay? And what saved me there was that scripture in Colossians. Everything I can do would be an act of God, an act of worship. So I kind of changed my mindset. Okay, I'm in here working, and I would have my Gideon New Testament in my back pocket. I'd be singing hymns. And it wasn't just doing spiritual stuff. I mean, I had my Carcraft magazine. I had my Hot Rod magazine. I had the Detroit Free Press. I had the Detroit News. And you know, it was party time. Okay? And I got it again. I mean, there's a lot of dope in those plants. I mean, there's guys, a lot of people getting high and blasted. Okay? And they were convinced I was doing stuff. What are you taking? Because they wanted what I was taking. You know? And I was not preachy because I do follow Christ. Get out of here. Okay. Whatever you do. Did you? Okay. What's that job there? What is that? Yeah. See, I was in inspection. The blocks would go by and I'd have to inspect them, put my stamp on. Okay. I don't know how I got that job. I mean, like 17, 18 years old. If it wasn't for that, I think I would have gone crazy. And I found myself walking into this boring environment and just the presence of God is going to be here all day. Okay. And it was great. It was wonderful. I loved working there. Okay. Crazy as it sounds. This is John R. Coleman. He's a garbage man. It's downtown Manhattan. John Coleman's not a garbage man. John Coleman in the 60s and 70s was the president of Haverford College in Pennsylvania. Okay? And in the summertime, it started when they gave him a sabbatical for 3 months. And every summer, he would take a job as a garbage man. Okay? You know why? Because to him it wasn't a boring job. To him it was an adventure. He got to meet all these great people. He didn't like going hanging around with the uppity, you know, millionaire and elite of the Haverford College there. He wanted to be with real people. And they built a statue to him in Haverford, okay? Because he was connecting with people. He saw it as an opportunity to, and I don't know whether this guy was a Christian or not, but he became a hero to the poor people that he served. His fellow garbage collectors in New York, this employee of the month every month, okay? They adored this guy. And he'd be cracking jokes with them and having fun with them, singing and defending. He ended up defending a lot of people who were getting ripped off by landlords and stuff going on, corruption within New York City. And he pulled some strings to help a ton of people, okay? And I'll tell you, when you're able to do stuff like that, that's better than winning a lottery. That will give you more self-esteem. Why do you think the Bible says it's better to give than to receive? And it's not just gifts, it's time, it's love, it's sometimes it's keeping your mouth shut, sometimes it's losing the argument, okay? And we do it because we really, really love. Medical science is quite as, there is an endless supply of material that proves that stress it destroys the body. Okay? Like carrying stress destroys the body. And if it's so true, there's so many illnesses that are complicated and made even more serious because of stress. Okay? You can see how important it is for the Prince of Peace to rule in people's lives. Because he saves us spiritually, but he saves our body as well. The kingdom of God, the party, oh, that is the kingdom of God. It's not an event. It is an attitude that you let Christ establish in your heart. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's yielding to what seems normal to us, to what his word says about how he wants us to believe. Okay? And some of us are stubborn. You know, hey, I've been around. I know what's really going on. One of the things, I have a lot of collections. Love, you've seen my Hot Wheels. I collect pictures of drum kits. I collect pictures of crazy hot rods. I collect pictures of really funny memes, okay? One of my crazy collections, and some of you have seen some of them, I love collecting pictures of really corny, ridiculous album covers. Okay? And this is one of them. Okay? Boy, you want to buy $20 tickets to see them, eh? Okay? I don't even know who they are. But I noticed this song here, Bright in the Corner Where You Are. Anybody know that song? Who knows that song? I think I've sung it once, haven't I? You know, I've used it as an illustration. You know, Helen McMinn, she was a lifetime single missionary in Kenya. Heather, did you ever run into Helen McMinn in Kenya? Yeah, okay. Helen McMinn, before she was a missionary, she was stuck with me in the junior youth program in the Montreal church. And I was like Maverick to her, okay, I'll bounce it off the walls. And I remember we had to get up and sing in front of the church, Bright in the Corner Where You Are. I hated this song, okay? But I'm 60. And I look at the lyrics. Bright in the corner where you are. Bright in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar. What does that mean? I thought a bar. You get in a bar, a drunk person, guide across the bar and help. No, a bar is a sandbar. And people, and it's a naval term, that a ship, if they got caught on a sandbar, they were dead. They were abandoned. And you could guide them around there, guide them around the bar and get them into a dock of safety. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar, right in the corner where you are. Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Oh, isn't that good? Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you now, be true. Brighten the corner where you are. You can't always control what happens in your life, but you can always control how you respond. And that's where Jesus comes in. He keeps saying, yield to me. You can't serve God on your terms. You can't serve God in your limited, well, this is how I do it. If you bring that into your prayer life, oh man, that could be a very painful lesson to unlearn. I'm telling you, the easiest lessons in life are learned by simply being obedient to what the Bible tells you to do. Now, I've learned that the hard way. Okay, most of the lessons I have learned, I've learned it the hard way. But every time I've gone through unnecessary pain, I look at the Word of God, you know, if I'd only been humble, if I'd only been Christ-like, if I'd only been trusting, and if I only exercised faith instead of fear. Okay? Best example in history, of course, is the portable party that was Jesus. Okay? As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. I guess word got out, and the whole town gathered at the door. The whole town gathered at the door. You ever go to some of these clubs or bars, you know? And I can't stand the music, but I'm 60, you know? And they're lined up. And they're dressed and they want to get in, you know, and they feel like dirt if the bouncer doesn't let them in. Why do they want to get in? Because something's happening there. It's fun. You know? When Jesus is in the house, the whole town gathers at the door. When it's real, when it's not just church, when he is really ruling, the whole town gathers at the door. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton. That's King James. That's Greek for party animal. Okay? It's synonymous. Sorry, I didn't write this. That's what it is. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, here's a glutton and a drunkard. Oh, a drunkard? A friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. There's Jesus doing his thing. I gave you the scripture 2 weeks ago where he said, blessed are they who don't fall away on account of me. That's Jesus talking. I mean, he was so full of life. He knew that it's going to be hard for some people. Okay? The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna, the Son of David! No restrictions with kids. Okay? Yeah! It's awesome! They were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? People. And you're going to have to ask God to make it real in your life this way, because we're all different and he's made us that way, okay? But people will never find Christ if they're not attracted to the followers of Christ, okay? Sometimes shy, quiet people that never say anything and all they do is listen are the most attractive people in the world. You want to be around them. I'm not talking about personality changes here. I'm talking about we yield to Jesus in our life and we really, really believe that we've got something that's transformative for other people, even if it doesn't feel like 100% in our lives. Okay? If Jesus is truly Lord of your life, you are going to be attractive to hurting lost souls. Maybe not to the proud, maybe not to the selfish, maybe not to the arrogant, but to hurting lost souls. If he's really real in your life, you're going to be attractive to them. You are. You can't see it, but it's going on. He draws people to himself. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Part of the renewal that is necessary is to really believe that what is inside you will change the world. Okay? Well, it's not changing me. Well, you're not perfect. It's not you that changes the world. It's what's inside you. You just got to yield to it and let it have its work. He's knocking on your heart's door. You let him in. Now what do? Start talking to him and getting to know him. He's going to let you know. Okay? This isn't about what am I getting out of it. Okay? This is about Jesus. You know what? People who know the power of Christ and people have seen what they've done, what he can do in their life, they're not asking what can I get out of it anymore because they're not even thinking like that. Their lives are, Jesus, you're awesome. You are so awesome. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, you're going to be in spiritual confusion until that happens. Okay? Hey, if you got a better interpretation, we can talk. I gave you that scripture. He stands at the door and knocks. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'm going to come in and eat with that person. And they with me. Okay? He's knocking. He says, hey, I want this to happen. This is my idea. You know? Knock, knock. Who's there? Jesus, I want to party with you. Literally. Okay? What about pain? What about suffering? Okay, I'm going to talk about pain and suffering. So let's have a dark slide. Nothing on the screen. Pain and suffering. I'm going to read you something. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. What happens if they die? Who cares? It's the Romans. After they had been severely flogged, not just flogged, but probably beaten within inches of their life, they were thrown into prison. Weren't taken to the medical facility. You know? They were thrown into thrown, not placed, thrown. Whoop! And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to stocks. Stocks. They're chained up. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. They must have been friends of Miriam. They were singing hymns to God. Okay? I wonder if it was a B.B. King blues tune. The thrill is gone! The thrill is gone! No. Don't think so. They were singing hymns to God. And other prisoners were listening to them. You're darn right they were listening. What in the world is... You gotta be kidding me! You're kidding me! Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. That doesn't happen. That's not supposed to happen. There's all kinds of things that are not supposed to happen when people yield to the goodness of God. And they get their mind off their circumstances and worship God. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, remember this guy's in Rome, okay? He knows how serious this is. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Because he knew nobody's ever going to believe this. Okay? They're going to think I was sleeping. Everybody, I'm dead. Okay? About to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul said, don't harm yourself. We're all here. What? You're all here? I don't think he could believe them. The jailer called for the lights because they didn't have the switch. You know, they had to come in with the torches and everything. They rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Now get that. These Roman soldiers, tough guys who make a living beating the crap out of people and watching people die in prison because of their, you know, injuries. And they are falling at Paul and Silas's feet. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, the jailer says this, what must I do to be saved? The guy, they haven't preached. They haven't told about the four spiritual laws. They didn't give him any tracts. Okay? I don't even know what he's asking. I'm dead. You got to save me. Maybe he wasn't even calling on Jesus. He just felt, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your whole household. Wow, there's a sermon there. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in this house. No, they didn't speak the word of the Lord until the guy asked. It wasn't, we're going to preach, then they're going to listen. No. Okay? But this is the real stuff here. This isn't the churchy stuff. Okay? This is the real deal. Okay? At that hour of night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. Let's get some water. Let's dunk these people right now. You know? The jailer brought them into this house and set a meal before them. And He was filled with joy, it says. This is Acts, I think it's 16:22-34, if you want the reference, okay? Acts 16:22-34, okay? He sets a meal for them, and he was filled with joy. Because he came to believe in God, he and his whole household. Do we suffer? Of course we suffer. Jesus said we'd suffer. And Jesus used the scripture all the time, John 16:33, look it up. He said, you're going to have trouble. If we didn't suffer, now think about this, if we didn't suffer, we would be superficial and shallow, and the meaning of Christ would probably have no meaning whatsoever. Why do you think Jesus says it's harder for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven? Because there's less suffering when you really live life, okay? You got a window into purpose. You got a window into what's real and what's not real. That's why we say, no pain, no gain. Or like this one, the tassel's worth the hassle. Okay? You know? Graduation day, you know? Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You don't know the glory that's in you. It hasn't been revealed to you yet, but it's there. Someday it's going to be revealed. I think it can be revealed in this life. The more we function in the kingdom of God, the more we think of ourselves less and more of the other people that we're called to reach and Jesus himself, okay? You start seeing where that glory is. It's there. It is there. Otherwise, you would not have a relationship with Christ, okay? Bless those who persecute you. I know, forget it. I know this is insane, you know? Outside of Jesus, this is impossible. I get that, okay? But it's still there. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Yeah. Mourn with those who mourn. This is that first verse is for a Boston Bruins fan, and the second verse is for Leaf fans. Okay, you got to be real with people around you. Okay, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. What does it say about the proud? He brings down the proud. God brings down the proud. God, not circumstance, God himself brings down the proud. And he lifts up the humble. Now, there's a problem here. Because proud people hardly never know that they're proud. God has to reveal to them. And really humble people, they don't know they're humble. And as soon as you think you are, it's proof that you're not. You know? The most humble people that you've met do not know, they're not even thinking of that like that, okay? John Wesley, talking about suffering. Our people die well. Talking about people that follow Christ, you know? We cry. We wince. We go through periods of real darkness, but because of Christ, I hope we don't give up. Hope we don't give up, okay? I saw something, I should have taken a picture of it, okay? I saw something this morning, come back to that. I saw something this morning that I never saw before in my life, okay? Never saw this before in my life. You remember that squirrel sermon I did? And I showed you the picture of the squirrel with the red pants? I've got my phone, I never saw that before. You know that's the only time I ever saw that squirrel? I go to that park almost every Saturday, I've never seen that squirrel since then. Today I saw something I've never seen before. I'm driving down Hawthorne, north from Greeley to get to church, okay? And all of a sudden I see this big flock of geese, you know? Maybe 500, 700, like crazy, it's like Jack Miners, okay, and Kingston. Kingsville. And I'm watching, I'm going, wow, how do they know to do that? And I'm looking at the leader. Was it his idea? Come on, guys, let's go. You know, and there's formations, and I'm looking, I'm not the beautiful majesty of God. I know what geese do to golf courses and parks, okay? They leave the garbage everywhere, okay? Like, it's not a romantic thing. What caught my eye was they're going, and you know, about 700 in the air, 100 still thinking about, in the middle of the 100, never saw this before. A beautiful swan. A beautiful white swan. What in the world is that doing there? That's not a can of goose. I slowed down. Swan. And I thought about you guys. You know, just like everybody else, you know. We do our thing. Oh yeah, image of God. Look at it, it's wonderful. And there's that one thing that we think we're in the middle of. That's not the way the Lord looks at you. Okay? There's my swan. There's my perfect one. There's my... Okay? You got, please, don't entertain any demonic lie that makes sense that causes you to believe otherwise. Because it will make sense and it's believable, but it is a lie. And those kind of lies bind people. And they quench the Holy Spirit on the inside. Okay? Got one more scripture. I'm going long today. I don't usually go this long. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. I am not going to give in to lies. I'm not going to give in to stuff that is not what is, because the Word of God is more authoritative than even our circumstances. Okay? Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself. You can't give yourself unless there's surrender there. You can't give if you're, nope. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. What does the work of the Lord look like? Just being obedient. Right in the corner where you are. Okay? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Close your eyes. Some of you don't know that your labor is not in vain. Okay? Not because you're bad people, but because the devil's a good liar. Okay? And Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, expose that lie right now in the name of Jesus. Expose that lie and kill it, Lord. Kill it. God, I think I'm boasting in the Lord when I brag about this congregation every chance I get. And how wonderful they are. And the wonderful things that they do for you. And how much they love each other. And how much they love you. God, I don't think I've ever been in a congregation where I've witnessed to that degree, God. Just so wonderful. And God, I confess this morning, Lord, sometimes I'm paranoid we're going to lose that somehow. Maybe if we get in a building, we won't need to be that way anymore. Or maybe if your blessing was poured out on us to a point that we couldn't handle it, we might get more in love with the blessing than in love with you. But Lord, you know, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about that because, Lord, it's the right thing just to surrender to you. It's the right thing to take care of business today. It's the right thing, Lord God, to not go my way, which leads to death, Proverbs says, but to acknowledge you in everything so that I will know your purpose in my life. And I won't go down wasteful rabbit holes. And if I do go down wasteful rabbit holes, Lord, the devil will make me think they're wasteful. But Lord, it will be you teaching. It will be you making all things work together for you, Lord God. God, forgive us for not believing how much you love us. And some of us, Lord God, we got to, Lord, you got to reveal how much you do love us, Lord. And I know the best way is for us to love each other. I know the best way, Lord God, is for us to keep building each other up. And Lord, I know there's enough people in this room that really, 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 really love you. And they're convinced of your love for them. That God, they're walking lighthouses, God. Wherever they go, they just light it up. And God, we all need that. God, we're all asking for that. Funny, you know, you do an altar call sometimes and you ask people if they want that. Who in this room wouldn't want that? You wouldn't be here if you didn't want that. You showed up this morning, you know. I'm not going to ask for hands this morning. Jesus, make it so. Jesus, make it so. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. I remember when I was a kid and Helen McMinn would teach us that, and I would pretend I was drunk when we came to that line. You know? Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar. Why are you quenching the Spirit and telling us that, John? Because your efforts to do the right thing will always be disturbed by some jerk. The devil will make sure that, you know, something comes into your life that there's no way I can live this. Okay? I drove Helen McMinn to tears. I did. I drove her nuts. You know? I ended up going to a pastor's conference about 20, 25 years after. I'm in my 40s, 35 or 40. And I remember going up to her and apologizing to her in tears for the hell I put her through. Because what could she do? I'm the pastor's kid. They're the worst. You know? If you really believe, God, you're everything that you say you are, and you're so much more powerful than I think you are on the inside. Do you think the devil's going to be waiting for you in the park? Oh, I said, did you have a nice time in church? I'm glad you had a good. No way. Oh, you think that's the way it is? Pow. Oh, that hurt. Pow. Maybe somebody will lie about you. You know? I would suggest that the attack ramps up. Okay? So we're going to pray for that inevitable right now. Closing. Father, I've already been praying. I've been praying too long. Forgive me. God, let them know, Lord God, how powerful they are no matter what they face. No matter what they get, what text they get in their phone, Lord, in the next 5 minutes that could just try and short circuit the reality of your power within them, Lord. And of God, there are people that are unsure about it, Lord. That's never, Lord, you know, it's never a bad thing for us to come to you, God, and rededicate ourselves to you and say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord God, that in our weaknesses you are strong. Thank you, God, that you never intended us for us to just be so cool that we could get through life like this. No, God, you step in. And you gave us your word, Lord God. You gave us churches like this, God, where we can build each other up and encourage each other and get a positive and a real perspective instead of just our perspective. That's one perspective, God. Lord God, give us your perspective, God, and drive out any other kingdom, Lord, that says otherwise, Lord. Overthrow, Lord, whatever else is speaking lies and establish your kingdom in our minds. In the name of Jesus and forgiving me for preaching so long this morning. Amen. Amen. Go blow somebody away. Go like light up the corner where you are. Go like thrill somebody, you know. I'm guaranteeing you'll have fun doing it, you know. Maybe it's just going home with somebody and listening and not saying a word. God bless you.